This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN Primetime continues alongside Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray, just down the road from where we sit. T-Mobile Arena, 61-59 is your score at the half. The Spurs, a two-point lead over the New York Knicks, a game that had a spread of 2.5, and the second half just underway. Right now, the Spurs, a 1.5-point favorite. Total was 233.5, Matt. It is up to 236.5. I'll say this. At least through the first half, odds makers line this game pretty well.
Yeah, no question.
61-59. I believe the Spurs are going to hit a three on this opening possession. So we will keep our eyes on the NBA Cup as the Spurs, a five-point lead. We've got a bowl game going on. The Salute to Veterans Bowl happening right now in Montgomery, Alabama. Troy up 10-7. They scored a defensive touchdown on a botched flea flicker. And with 10 minutes to go in the second quarter, they lead by three. Live number, Jacksonville State, still the favorite, -2.5. They were at one point, Matt, when they got the ball back, a double-digit favorite on the live line, and they are now trailing 10-7. This hour being brought to you by our friends at Better. Better Picks is a daily fantasy sports app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Download Better. That's BETR, or visit better.app. Sign up today and get a free $10. No deposit necessary.
We were talking about North Texas in the bowl game. Mm-hmm. And I think you might have seen this information today. We didn't talk about the details, but, you know, who is Indiana's quarterback going to be next season? And we said, well, Drew Mestemaker, the Division I leader in passing yards this season, play for North Texas in the bowl game. Tim, I have no idea why he would play. Listen to the money that's out there in the market right now for Mestemaker, the quarterback from North Texas who just entered the portal. There's a report on Twitter tonight that Mestemaker and his talks with Indiana have stalled, and the Hoosiers are now turning their attention to a Big 12 quarterback who's in the portal. Do you know who that would be?
Brendan Sorsby?
Would it be Sorsby?
That would be the one I would – Yeah. Big 12 quarterback in the portal. That would make some sense.
Yeah, that would make sense. So – I still think Mestemaker is going to end up at Oklahoma State. You would think so if the money's there. But how about this? The source claimed that Indiana's offer to Drew Mestemaker was $3.5 million. Why would he play in the bowl game? You're going to play in the bowl game and risk injury when you're getting offered that kind of money?
Man, it's the New Mexico Bowl.
He's not playing in the bowl game, man. You're going to play in a bowl game of risk injury when you got that kind of money out there?
I don't know, Matt. There
were
a lot of columns out there telling me that Notre Dame was breaking the sport by opting out of the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I had a buddy of mine. Did I tell you the story last night?
So, anyway, I'll let you tell the story, but I actually saw today, I think Pete Sampson reported, there were about 20 Notre Dame players who were not going to play in the bowl game.
Potentially.
Okay.
He had made a list, and Pete's a well-sourced guy.
It made sense, too, because why would these guys want to play? If you're an NFL prospect, you're going to go play in a Pop-Tarts Bowl, and you blow out your knee or whatever. So Notre Dame was in a no-win situation there, because if you go to the bowl game and lose, and you got people say, see, you shouldn't have put them in the playoff, whatever. You got 20 guys sitting out. If you go to the bowl game and you barely beat BYU, well, Notre Dame doesn't look like a playoff team. You had nothing to gain by playing in the Pop-Tarts Bowl and a lot to lose. I think it was a pretty obvious decision from the start, and hopefully those people who were criticizing the Irish in the beginning have come around a little bit, because it would be dumb. Actually, it would be really dumb to play in that Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Well, and I think the thing that was noted in the article that Pete Sampson wrote today was actually a mailbag over at The Athletic, which was there was a basically, the captains got together, players talked to their position coaches, and they came to the conclusion that it wouldn't make a ton of sense. Our buddy Brad Powers had a tweet earlier today, and he said, to what you just said, had the Notre Dame backups barely beat BYU or even lost outright, everyone would have said, I told you so, they didn't belong. Most bowls are exhibition games now, have been trending that way for a decade. Well, Matt, the good news is we do have playoff games starting on Friday night, Alabama and Oklahoma. We've had two guests on today, differing opinions. I love that. I love to hear differing opinions this time of year with Alabama and Oklahoma. Alabama, a slight favorite. We got a tweet from Let me double check who it was. Brad, and he says, I like Bruce Marshall, but I will have to respectfully disagree. R. Mason Thomas is coming back. That is the stud defensive lineman for Oklahoma. He will make the best defense even better. Alabama not scoring over 11. All right. Brad is confident in the Oklahoma Sooners.
I like that.
That's the beauty of this time of year.
Well, say it before the game, not after the game. I have a VSIN viewer, listener, who always emails me after the game is over and tells me the bet he had, and it's always a winning bet. He's in hitting 100%.
Wow.
But he never says who he's betting. Never says who he's betting before the game. The email always comes later that night or the next day after the game. I knew it, blah, blah, blah. I think this guy is now 138-0.
Man.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Probably should be on VSiN if you're that good.
Put him on a show called Hindsight. Never lose.
Steve Spurrier, one of the many great quotes he had as the head coach of the Redskins. Well, hindsight's always 50-50.
That's a good one.
So you and I did bet Alabama. I don't think we're both, warm and fuzzy on the bet. I did like what I heard from Ryan Grubb today regarding Josh Cuevas, the tight end who's been out for a little bit. He's expected to be back. Jam Miller expected to be back. Ty Simpson as well. Now, take it for what you will. It's the offensive coordinator. What is he going to go up there? Yeah, we're screwed. Our guys are all banged up. We're in trouble. We have no chance. So take it for what you will. One of the X factors in this game, I mentioned a little bit earlier from the Oklahoma side, is the special teams. And you saw the game earlier this year with Oklahoma against Tennessee where they won it based almost solely off the leg of Tate Sundell. This right. dude is an absolute weapon. He is 7-for-7, Matt, on field goals from 50 yards or further. And Oklahoma, they've got that in their back pocket. While Alabama, their kicker is 14 of 20 on field goals this year. So always when you look at a game that is so tight with a low margin or low total like Oklahoma and Alabama, could the kicker be an X factor in this one? I think it is certainly possible when you look at Oklahoma. So, just something to keep in mind when you think about betting this game on Friday night.
I do. Actually, I was talking about that last night with the Steelers and Chris Boswell. Yeah. You have to keep the kickers in mind when you're handicapping. I think a lot of times bettors overlook the kickers or don't think about them as much. Hawaii has got a really good kicker, but the Hawaii-Cal matchup and the Hawaii Bowl coming up on Christmas Eve, I don't think the kickers are going to be a big factor. To me, that's going to be a game of trading touchdowns, not field goals. But when you're talking about Alabama, Oklahoma with a lower total, Tim, this is going to be the type of game where I think the kicker could come into question. And you could say it could be a key factor. And I think you have to say Oklahoma's probably got the best kicker in college football. It might make the difference.
Yeah, won the Lou Groza Award, was just deadly from long range. Yeah. So will that come into play on Friday night? Certainly is a possibility. Kalen DeBoer, how about his track record, whether it be in the NAIA ranks or his playoff run as the head coach of Washington, getting ready for playoff games? Is that an advantage for Alabama going up against Oklahoma? Brent Venables, this will be his first playoff game as a head coach.
Maybe a bit of an advantage. I don't think it's a huge one. I like Kalen DeBoer a lot, but it feels like he has not been as sharp as a coach at Alabama as he was previously.
I've been surprised. I loved Alabama coming into this year. We talked about our preseason projections in the college football betting guide. My championship was Alabama over Ohio State. Technically alive, but I do not feel great about that projection. I guess it could happen. In theory, they're on the opposite sides of the bracket. Matt,
at least you're alive. You have a shot.
The two games.
By Texas and Penn State.
It's got a chance.
They don't have a shot.
What, Pinstripe Bowl champion?
They're in bowl games, but not in the playoff. I wonder how much home field's going to be a factor, too. You got to think that atmosphere is going to be off the hook in Norman
Friday night. It's funny. I was I do a radio show every Tuesday in Memphis, and the host was talking to me, and he's like, are you excited about these playoffs? And I said, well, you're asking a Notre Dame fan, so no, I'm not super thrilled. But then I said, look, come Friday night or even leading up to it, once the buildup, look, that stadium is going to be absolutely rocking on Friday night. I think once we get into it, I think the juices will start to get flowing. And then Saturday morning, you know, when you look at Miami, Matt, this is a team that their biggest games, they didn't leave the state of Florida until November.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost that first game out of the state to SMU. Now, they did wrap up the season with a win on the road at Pitt, but this environment they're about to walk into on Saturday afternoon, they haven't seen anything like that this year. So I think that is also worth discussing. But we're going to pivot a little bit to the NFL. You think David Bearman is excited about his Dolphins' performance last night?
He's going to be thrilled. He's going to be thrilled about the future of Tua, the face of the franchise.
This hour is being brought to you by Better. Just a reminder, if you think you know sports, then it's time to get paid for it. Better Picks is the daily fantasy app where your sports knowledge turns into real cash fast. Here's how it works. Download the Better app, pick more or less on your favorite player's stats, and when your picks hit, you win. Right now, new users get a free $10 just for signing up. No deposit required. When you do deposit, you'll get a 50% deposit match up to $200. Getting started is easy. Head to better.app. That's B-E-T-R. Or download Better in the App Store or Google Play. Don't forget to use the promo code VSIN, V-S-I-N, to claim your free $10 and deposit bonus. Better Picks. If you know sports, it's time to prove it. The Salute to Veterans Bowl going on right now. A 10-7 lead for the Troy Trojans over Jacksonville State, as the Troy Trojans right now on the march inside Jacksonville State territory. The NBA Cup final going on. The New York Knicks trailing the San Antonio Spurs 72-67. Spurs 2.5-point favorites in game.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
I had a double take that the feed here from Amazon wasn't frozen, because you just made the point. Every time we look up, Spurs have about a 5 or 6 point lead. That is what they have right now, Matt. 74-68, 7 and change to go, third quarter, NBA Cup final.
Yeah, it's been a tight game the whole way, but the Spurs have been in the lead pretty much the entire way. And a lot of time left, though. Let's talk football with David Bearman.
Very happy Dolphins fan, I would imagine.
He's going to be thrilled.
What a performance last night. The offense looked great. Just look at the box score, man. It was top-notch.
I thought Bearman would come on tonight wearing his – I thought you'd come on tonight wearing your Tua jersey.
I mean, literally, I was on 20 meetings yesterday. I had the Dolphins ski cap on. I had the Dolphins sweater on. I even had the Dolphin boxers on. And I was bought in. I didn't know they're not going to make the playoffs. But I thought they would go in there and beat Pittsburgh last night. They're just playing differently. McDaniel's got the team running the ball, running it hard. Defense is playing great. You know what? For 28 minutes, we had a 3-0 lead. And we'll just stop there, because everything else I'm going to say will have to use the beep. So we'll just stop there.
We will not. We are a family program. Young children listen to us as they get ready for bed. So I'm told that is the case. All right, let's get to week 16. We turn the page. Week 15 in the rear view. Week 16 ahead. Saturday night in Chicago. We've seen the market come in on the Chicago Bears here. This number open up around 3 right now. There's a pick 'em out there at the Westgate Superbook. We'll call it 1.5 for grading purposes. What do you make of Green Bay at Chicago? These two teams just played 2 weeks ago at Lambeau.
Yeah, and I actually agree with the line move, and I grabbed it at 2 yesterday, so I understand why it's moving toward Chicago. Week in and week out, listen, this Bears team is not getting the respect from the odds makers. Maybe that changes over the course of this week as the betting comes in. Do I think they're a Super Bowl team? No, I don't think they're there yet. Maybe they will be in a year or two. But what they're doing is they're winning one of the best divisions in football. And this is the one team that nobody gave a chance to win this division in football. And they're doing it on both sides of the ball. People will be amazed to find out this is the 6th best offense in football. And the defense, while not in the top 10, has gotten progressively better over the course of the season. Now, you look 2 weeks ago, you're right, they did play, and Green Bay won that game in Lambeau, and it was a lot closer than it seemed. Chicago had a chance right there at the end to tie the game and even win it through the interception in the end zone, lost by a touchdown. But this is not the same Green Bay team. Micah Parsons, he's done. Christian Watson, also likely done. This one's in Chicago. The Bears are 5-1 this season at home, guys. They've lost one game. It was that season opener against Minnesota in primetime where they led throughout and then blew it in the end of the game. If you were to ask me entering last week which team I thought would win the division, I would have gone all in on Green Bay. But things have changed. They got beat up by Denver. You ask me today, I'm going with the Chicago Bears in this one and to win the NFC North.
Things have changed. I agree with you there. And, you know, we've talked a lot this season about the Bears being a lucky team. And I think at some point you have to start to buy in to Bears. Are you bought in on this team being legit?
I'm bought in on them winning this week and winning the division. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. I think the NFC is too tough. If this team was in the AFC, I'd say, yeah, why not? They can win it. So could New England. So could Denver. But the NFC is a different story. You got the Rams, Seattle, San Francisco, Philadelphia. Very, very tough, proven teams out there. I do think Chicago can win this division, but realistically, I think they're just a year too early. You got a brand new coach. You got a second-year quarterback. They got the pieces. I'd be surprised if this team didn't stick around for the next couple of years.
Curious what you think of the Jags-Broncos game, because this is another team a lot of people thought was a lucky team throughout the season, the Broncos winning so many close games. They've won 11 in a row, and like you said last week, betting market loved the Packers against the Broncos. Now the Broncos, 3-point home favorites against the Jags, have won 5 in a row. Is this a cheap price on the Broncos?
I think it is. It's the same Broncos team that I did say last week on the show that I liked at home versus the Packers. I think that Denver, the one thing that Denver was missing going into last week was offense. Their defense is Super Bowl caliber. We've talked about that. But if you actually dive deep into Denver's number, and I wrote about this today at Prize Picks, it'll be out tomorrow. Denver, since their bye a couple of weeks ago, their offense has been a top 10 offense coming out of that bye. It was not good going into that. But Bo Nix and the offense have been averaging about 350 yards per game, which is more than the 250 they were averaging before that. They're scoring in the high 20s per game, and you just saw what they did to a really good Green Bay defense. You know, Micah Parsons got injured late in that game, but Denver moved the ball up and down the field. And if Denver can move the ball, you're talking about a very, very dangerous team with the AFC having to go through Denver. As far as this game's concerned, listen, I like everything the Jaguars have done this year, but this is a step up in competition, and I do like Denver at the cheap price here.
David Behrman joining us here. Follow him on Twitter at David Behrman, and also check out the podcast, Betting with Behrman. All right, let's get to another game as we look around the league heading into Week 16. We actually talked about this game already with Bruce Marshall, so let's see if we have a common thought on Chargers at Dallas. We'll call it consensus 2. There's a 1.5, there's a 2.5 out there, but we'll call it 2 right now. Dallas laying a short number at home against the Chargers. Do you think the dog is live here in this spot?
I do, and just like Chicago versus Green Bay, I think the dog is live here with the Chargers. Now, the Chargers have made it real simple on us. When they show up and play their A game, they win, and that's what they've done. When they decide to take a night off, they'll go ahead and lose to the Giants, or they'll lose to the Commanders, or they'll get blown out by Jacksonville. But when they show their A game, which you saw against Kansas City, they're one of the best teams in football. On the flip side, the Cowboys season's over. Yes, mathematically still alive, but all things considered, it effectively ended on Sunday night with that loss to the Vikings. Just when you think they're there beating the Eagles and the Chiefs, they go ahead and lose to the Lions and Vikings. Not sure why they're favored against this Chargers team that just won in O'Hara head. It did something nobody's done in the decade and swept the Kansas City Chiefs. Like I said, they keep it simple. When they play well, they can beat anybody. When they play like crap, they get blown out the door. But they have a really, really good underrated defense, and I think when Justin Herbert can figure out what Jim Harbaugh wants him to do, I do think the Chargers are the play here, and they're the better team, and I think they're going to take the points and win this one.
So let's stick with this game. You're the undertaker. We've got a total of 49.5. Are we going under in Chargers-Cowboys?
We are, and you knew I was going to have some under, and this was probably not the game you thought I was going to pick the under in, but I just think the Cowboys' offense has petered off the last couple of weeks against the Lions and the Vikings, and the Chargers have a much better defense than both of them. There's a Chargers defense that can handle Dallas's offense. They're second in total yards at under 280 yards per game, third against the pass, which is where Dallas beats you, and eighth in scoring average. Much better defense than Lions and Vikings. I do think this line will actually continue to move up a little bit, but I do like the under in here. The last Chargers game to reach 50 points, which is what you would need to have to lose this one, was way back in week 6 when the Colts with Jonathan Taylor and Daniel Jones were firing on all cylinders and went out and blew out the Chargers. None of the last 5 Chargers games have even cleared 45 points, and we're getting 49.5. I don't think it reaches that because I think this line is due to the Cowboys offense being as good as it is, but not as good lately as we've seen over the course of the year.
Betting with Bierman, David Bierman with us. All right, how about Monday night, 49ers, Colts, Phillip Rivers, 44. He's going to make his first home start. This number is 6 or 6.5. Doesn't look like it's going to get to 7, but 6.5 is definitely out there. Would you be tempted to play the home dog or not?
I'd be tempted to play the home dog to keep it close. San Francisco is the much better team here. All due respect to Phillip Rivers. I loved how they kept it close for Seattle. I jumped on that spread once they announced he was starting. I figured they would keep it close. San Francisco is a scary team that I've gotten wrong all year long. So you might be asking the wrong guy here. When I play San Francisco, they don't show up. When I play against them, they're the best team in football. I lean towards the points at home with Rivers, but would not be surprised if San Francisco went in there and won that game.
What'd you think of Rivers? Just a game manager, exactly what you expected. Did not really throw the ball downfield much. No mobility, not much zip on his passes, but high IQ, can run the offense.
Yeah, that's what I expected. When I heard the rumors that were bringing him in, I'm like, yeah, Shane Sexton's an offensive guy. He needs a guy to control the game, hand the ball to Jonathan Taylor, throw when he needs to throw. And listen, it was right there. Not only that, he led them to a comeback in the end and got them the lead with the 60-yard field goal by Groupie, but unfortunately the defense gave it up on the other side, and Phillip Rivers, for all intents and purposes, won the game because he brought his team, kept them in there, and then got the lead. He can't play defense, and they went right down the field and scored, but they got to do something about the kicking stuff. I mean, all you got to do is return the ball to the 30, play 2 plays, and you're in field goal range. That's going to cost a whole bunch of teams that don't have a good kicker, and those with good kickers can win games just like what we saw the other day with Seattle and Indy.
I agree with you. We were talking about this recent weeks. Paul Howard and Mitch and I were talking about this. So you start your drive a lot of times at the 35 or 40, and after 2 plays, you're in field goal range. I don't like it.
Yeah, and listen, we saw it last night in the Miami game. Miami gets on the board and kicks a field goal, up 3-0 on a 54-yard field goal. Then he kicks it short within the zone or whatever it is, and Pittsburgh started the ball on the 40. And then went right down the field and took the lead before halftime. That's just, there's something has to be changed. I do enjoy the new kickoff rules because there's more kickoffs. Mm-hmm. But the fact that these teams are starting the ball at the 35 and 40 and they're kicking 60-yard field goals like you're going to get candy out of the candy store, something's got to change there.
Betting with Bearman, make sure you check it out. Also, FanDuel Sports Network helping out there as well. David, always appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Enjoy the games this weekend. Yeah, go sign up for Betting with Bearman. We've got ESPN's Bill Connolly on tomorrow on the podcast.
There you go. Update from the NBA Cup. The San Antonio Spurs, impressive so far tonight.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt, you put in a live bet. You were unable to get down on UConn as the game started, so you waited. You were patient. The patience paid off.
Good lesson, right? I tried to get in the UConn minus 15 right at game time. I said, all right, I'm going to bet this. I got in. Must have been 2 seconds too late. It comes back. Bet denied. Game already started. Well, we waited 5 minutes. Butler took a 13-11 lead, and I got UConn minus 12.5 at minus 111, and it looks like that's going to come in. We got 2 minutes to go. UConn's up, what, 19?
20 right now. 21. Solo ball. Impressive performance tonight for him. 26 points. And now we just hope that the bench warmers who have been on the floor don't give up some sort of disastrous game here in the final 50 seconds. So UConn closes as a 15-point favorite. I believe the Madman pointed this one out on Twitter. He liked UConn in this spot. Yeah, so the Massaro, current leader in the Circa Friday Football Invitational, mm-hmm. is probably going to be happy on this UConn result. Is he ever happy? That's a fair question to ask. Is the Madman? No, I know.
I think he is sometimes.
But I would say good call to him.
Not when he's tweeting.
Well done by you on your very patient bet. Winner. 79-60, final seconds ticking off here.
I did not bet this NBA game tonight. I leaned to the Knicks, didn't play it. Jalen Brunson, 19 points right now through three quarters. Spurs up 5, 94-89, and I'm glad I did not bet this game. Big move on the total. Jeff Sherman talked about that with us before tip tonight. Total bet up from 228 to 234.5.
All right, final seconds ticking off, and Danny Hurley shaking hands with Thad Matta. 79-60, the final score. UConn wins and covers over Butler in that one. Halftime in the Salute to Veterans Bowl, Matt, and it is a 13-7 lead for the Troy Trojans. We saw significant movement in this bowl game towards Jacksonville State, and they are down 6 at the half. Live number, Jacksonville State plus 2.5. Troy minus 2.5. Now, it is worth noting the lone touchdown for the Troy Trojans came on a botched flea flicker where the quarterback dropped the pitch back and it was recovered for a score. So I'll be honest, haven't been watching full attention on this game, but maybe you look a little bit towards Jacksonville State. But it has been a very highly offensive efficient game so far. Hey, just a reminder, this hour being brought to you by Better. Think you know sports? Then get paid for it with Better Picks, the daily fantasy app that turns your sports knowledge into real cash. Just download Better, pick more or less on your favorite player's stats, and if your picks hit, you win. New users get a free $10 just for signing up, no deposit required, and when you do deposit, you'll get a 50% match up to $200. Go to better.app or download Better today. Make sure you use the promo code VSIN for a free $10 and deposit bonuses. Fourth quarter underway in the NBA Cup Final. San Antonio a 94-89 lead right now over the New York Knicks. Live number in this one, Matt, sits at 3.5 in favor of the San Antonio Spurs as the Knicks get a bucket here. Well, we talked about Oklahoma and Alabama. Both you and I have a small position on Alabama in the first game of the college football playoff. I also, Matt, have a position on the under. Liked the movement I saw in the under in Miami, Texas A&M, as right now that number down to 51 at circa, 50.5 or so. By the way, the game tied up in the NBA Cup Final. The Knicks have flipped now to a favorite in that one. So just like that, the five-point lead has gone away. But Adam Burke, earlier today on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, was discussing the mobility for Marcel Reed and how it could lead to a difference in Saturday's showdown in College Station.
I'm really curious to see how Miami's offensive line holds up here against Texas A&M. And I think that's the difference in the game here, that Marcel Reed is a much more mobile quarterback than Carson Beck is. I mean, Marcel Reed, over 5 yards a carry, 89 carries, 466 yards. He can maybe get away from the rush a little bit better than Carson Beck can. And I think that's the difference in the game for me, where Miami played one team that was in the upper echelon in sacks, and that was the game against SMU, and they lost. And they didn't even give up a sack in that game. But Beck did have to make some throws under duress, and we kind of saw what happened there. So in a game where the defenses are the story, where the defensive lines in particular are the story, I think the fact that Reed can evade the pass rush a little bit better, probably something that does help Texas A&M to the win.
So, Matt, for me, that was Adam Burke on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcasts. Tomorrow, Brett Ciancia, Pick 6 Previews, and Wes Reynolds. Matt will be on the podcast, as he always is, on Thursdays. I think it's a good point that Adam brings up regarding the escapability for Marcel Reed. Look, that is a defensive line led by Reuben Bain that is absolutely tenacious at times. But it's fair to ask, is this the best offensive line that Miami's faced all year? I think it is, Texas A&M. And then on the flip side, you could ask, has Miami faced a defense as good as Miami's, or Texas A&M faced a good as defense as Miami's? I think this game, for me, from a side standpoint, I have no feel right now one way or the other, just because am I really willing to take Carson Beck And Mario Cristobal is a home dog in a hostile environment.
Road dog.
A road dog, excuse me.
No, but you're right. That's the same thing I'm thinking about. Do I want to bet on Beck and Cristobal? I do not. I don't really trust Texas A&M either. This is a pretty intriguing matchup. But as of now, I'm going to pass. I could see the game being decided on a Carson Beck pick in the fourth quarter. By the way, Reuben Bain, you mentioned him. I was thinking about this the other day. I like the quarterbacks at the top of the draft. Fernando Mendoza, Dante Moore, et cetera. I don't love those quarterbacks in terms of turning around a franchise, like right away if you're the Raiders or whoever you might be drafting your quarterback at the top. Reuben Bain of Miami. Is Reuben Bain a viable option to be the number one overall pick? Let's say if you're the New York Giants, you don't get the trade offer you want for the number one pick. I think Bain would be a great addition to the defense. If you're a Giants, you're not drafting your quarterback. You got Jackson Dart.
Matt, the Giants have won two Super Bowls in this.
The dominant defensive lines, right?
Yep, in this century. And they were all because of their defensive line. I know Eli Manning was a quarterback and played well in those bowl game or in those Super Bowls, but the defensive line led the day. You know, Matt, I was actually looking at the.
By the way, Reuben Bain's about 7-1 to be the number one overall.
I think he's down to 4-1.
DraftKings right now.
Oh, DraftKings has it up now. I know FanDuel. I didn't know DraftKings had the market up. I don't hate that bet at 7-1. Maybe a small little play on Reuben Bain to be the first. The number one overall pick, especially, I mean, if it is the Giants, your point is valid. They have to trade out. Is there a team that's going to be desperate to trade up to get Mendoza or Dante Moore? Maybe. They might fall in love with them over 3 months. It's certainly possible, but would it be the Raiders, Matt? How are things going with the old Las Vegas Raiders?
Not so well. By the way, the Raiders quarterback situation, good segue there, Tim. Who's it going to be this week in the big game against the Texans? Is it going to be Geno Smith? Is it going to be Kenny Pickett? Or could it be Aiden O'Connell, who has been out with an injury all season? O'Connell is back practicing. Whoever it's going to be, the Raiders probably can top the 75 total yards they put up in Philadelphia. Pete Carroll answered this question today on a show with JT the Brick about the Raiders quarterback situation this week.
Geno's certainly ready to go from where I saw him this morning. He is cranked up and ready. He had a great weekend of rehab. We didn't travel him, so he wouldn't have to sit on the plane for all those hours and be in the cold and all that. He feels good, and so he'll show, you know, and I'll be able to know more after practice tomorrow where we're going with that. Kenny went out there and battled and, you know, did what he could in his first game in, you know, in a while that he's played. And he handled the situation. His mentality was good. We weren't as clean as we needed to be to take advantage on the early season sequences that we had in the game to convert, and so it got hard. It got hard on him. But Aiden has been working well, and he's done a nice job in practice. I would love for him to get some play time, but I would like to get it for the right reasons because we're winning the game.
Good luck with that. Raiders are 14.5-point underdogs at Houston, and they're not going to be winning the game so big that they can put in their backup quarterback. They're going to need to put the backup in because the starter stinks so badly that they've got to put somebody else in. Look, the Raiders just got beat 31-0. They're 2-12. They've lost 8 games in a row, and they had 75 total yards. Why not play Aiden O'Connell, Kenny Pickett? Why even put Geno Smith back in there, seriously? Why even play the guy anymore? He doesn't want to be a Raider in the future. You're wasting time.
37.5 is the total, with a spread of 14 in this game. By the way, the New York Knicks have come out red hot in the fourth quarter, Matt. They were down 5 headed into the quarter. They are now up 5. A 13-1 run for the New York Knicks against the San Antonio Spurs. And as we hit a break here, Matt, the Spurs now a 4.5-point underdog to the New York Knicks.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is VSiN Primetime, NBA Cup Final going on right now. The New York Knicks coming out red hot in the fourth quarter, Matt, to take a 7-point lead, 104 to 97 is the score. I'll tell you what, this game has been pretty entertaining. Every time we look up, it's been a Spurs slight lead, and then a 15-3 run to start the fourth quarter for the New York Knicks, and they lead by 7 right now. Live total in this game is up to, I believe, 239.5. Mm-hmm. So trending over and trending towards the New York Knicks. 104-97 is the score right now in this contest as we got about 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of the NBA Cup Final. Taking a look at the box score, you know, we played a clip from Kelly Bidlin earlier today when he was on Hardwood Handicappers. So don't expect the minutes to be very high for Victor Wembanyama. He played 21 against the Oklahoma City Thunder. 20 minutes so far tonight, 16 points and 6 rebounds. Leading the way for New York, OG Anunoby has 25, and Jalen Brunson now with 23 in this one, Matt. So a 7-point lead for the Knicks against the San Antonio Spurs, 7:40 to go in the fourth quarter. Matt, earlier today, Adam Silver had some interesting comments about maybe more basketball coming to our city.
Yeah, I fully expected Las Vegas to get an expansion franchise for many years. I'd say go back 10 years, been waiting for this to happen. It's getting close. Looks like it's going to be Vegas and maybe Seattle. Those would be the favorites to get the next NBA expansion franchises. Adam Silver addressed that topic today before the NBA Cup Championship. Here's the alien.
I don't have any doubt that Las Vegas, despite all the other major league teams that are here now, the other entertainment properties, that this city could support an NBA team. I think now we're in the process of, you know, working with our teams and gauging the level of interest and having a better understanding of what the economics would be on the ground for those particular teams and what a pro forma would look like for them. And then, you know, sometime in 2026, we'll make a determination.
All right. That clip would put you to sleep if you listen to it over and over and over. I'm going to say that the announcement's going to come sometime around the NBA Finals in June.
Okay.
And it's going to be Vegas, and it's going to be Seattle.
Yep.
I think this means too much money to the association. They've had this expansion on hold for a while. It's going to be time to do it next summer.
Both those markets have been desperate for NBA franchises. Mm-hmm. It's been kind of the worst-kept secret in the NBA that those two places would be the most likely landing spots for a franchise. Both have arenas available right now, and then I imagine maybe new arenas to be built as well. So we will see. But the NBA Cup going on right now, and it is 104-99. Knicks leading the San Antonio Spurs. So far tonight, Matt, it's been a pretty good night for you, as you had Tennessee earlier tonight, as did I. And then you had a UConn wager that came home as well. So a nice little show.
Well, it's nice, but we also got that information on the Cal Baptist game. And, Tim, I don't want to ruin the show on a finish on a sour note. But we had the great information on Southern's leading scorer who was out and it was not reported. And Cal Baptist, a 12-point favorite, actually got bet up to 13 at several books at closing time. Southern's leading scorer is not playing. Again, he averages 21 a game. He's not playing. Cal Baptist is up 2 at halftime. That's not ideal. I said it was going to be a small bet, and it's a small bet. How many times we get this good injury information, this great information, and it doesn't pay off, and it backfires, right?
34-32, Cal Baptist, 8-3 on the year, facing a team from Louisiana. It's a weird travel spot. Right. And
Best player's
out. Not playing.
2-point game at halftime. Great.
I mean, I will say it wasn't full on from Louisiana. I think they were in Texas. Southern was. They played Texas State. No, they probably went back home. So they went back home. Now they're a Cal Baptist. All right. 2-point lead there. Also, still to come tonight, Bruce Marshall did like, as did the professor, both like the Tritons of UC San Diego.
Got a late start tonight in that game. That's going to be 8:30 Pacific, right, for that tip?
Yep. Got bowl games tomorrow, Matt. We will be on the air for a couple of those. Let's take a quick look at the bowl slate tomorrow. I did bet a little Old Dominion. Obviously, 3.5s have just been scooped up. So I would say small play on the money line. I actually, at this point, take the 2.5 just because weird shenanigans going for two, bowl season, whatnot. But I think from a motivational standpoint, that would be the look for me. So two bowl games tomorrow, Old Dominion, South Florida, and the Cure Bowl in Orlando, and then UL Lafayette, the Raging Cajuns against Delaware, the Fighting Rich Gannons of Delaware, a three-point dog in that one, as that is the 68 Ventures Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama. So two bowl games tomorrow. I do like Old Dominion against South Florida.
What is 68 Ventures? Is that like a convenience store? What is that?
I have no idea.
I don't either. But being a bowl name sponsor, we should probably know what it is.
Probably should.
You know, I was going to ask you, did you bet those two games? Bet those games tomorrow?
I did. I saw Old Dominion plus 3.5 and a little on the money line as well.
So Old Dominion's backup quarterback, that's what I was going to throw at you. So we know the starter's out.
Joseph is out.
I've heard the backup is actually a pretty talented guy. Do you know much about the backup quarterback since you bet on that?
A little. It's more off of the Byron Brown is not playing, and South Florida, I would imagine, the motivation, just can't imagine it's there. Alex Golish is gone as well. So don't know a ton, though, on Old Dominion and what to expect from them tomorrow. So not a big bet. But a little bit on Old Dominion, and that game will be, yeah, it'll be going on. It'll be closing out when we're not here.
In fact, where are we going to be tomorrow? How about the patio at Dom DeMarco's on West Charleston at noon for the Jim Feist Football Handicapping Show? Tim Murray and I will be there with Jim Feist.
Will he give Tommy us cannolis? Canale.
What's that?
Will he give us cannolis?
If you want them, you can get them. Al Scully, it's going to be out there. It's actually a great time on the patio. We'll break down the NFL card this week. And Tim will have a bunch of best bets for you. Right,
sure.
Tim? Right?
I'll be eating food and giving out best bets. Getting ready for week 16 of the NFL, the college football playoff. Matt, tomorrow night's basketball card a little bit more robust. I imagine tonight you will lock in and take a look at some of these spots. Anything initially for tomorrow night in college basketball jump out to you? You got Vanderbilt at Memphis. Vandy, a 7.5-point road dog. Penny Hardaway historically has done well in that dog role.
A couple games I'm looking at. One you just mentioned. I'm thinking about playing Vandy, actually.
Okay.
This Vandy team is legit. Probably not going to play it just because I don't like to lay 7.5 on the road, but I was looking at that. There's probably going to be better spots to bet Vandy. Well, there will be. And I don't know if I'll play it. Maybe put Vandy on a money line parlay. Who knows? But I'm looking at one of the ugliest dogs in college basketball tomorrow night.
Oh, I know.
Air Force?
Yeah. Air Force, 23.5. Why would you be looking at Air Force, Matt?
24 at Circa right now.
Oh, there you go.
Might be higher by the morning, so just wait. I mean, who's going to want to bet Air Force? Not many people. So it might be 25 by the time you wake up tomorrow morning, but it's a look-ahead spot. San Diego's got Arizona on Saturday night. So you think the Aztecs players are thinking much about Air Force? Hell no. They're thinking about number one Arizona on Saturday night down there in San Diego. So also, Air Force's style has caused problems for San Diego State in a lot of recent seasons. The slowdown, Princeton-style offense that Joe Scott runs there. They can get overwhelmed in terms of talent. And they might end up losing by 30-plus. But it looks like one of those spots where the Aztecs might be asleep at the wheel when they got one eye on Arizona on Saturday night. So, I don't know. If I get 25, I might take it with Air Force. I didn't see much else jumping out in the college hoops card.
Ugly dogs.
That's really ugly.
Bark. That is an ugly dog. I'll tell you what, Matt. The one game I might look at a little bit here, I have to do a little bit more digging. Marquette has been wildly underwhelming. Did you watch them against Purdue?
I've watched Marquette a few times.
They're a five-point favorite against Georgetown tomorrow night.
This is Shaka Smart's least talented team at Marquette. I don't think it's really close, right?
You know, Georgetown hasn't been all that impressive as of late. They needed overtime to beat a bad St. Peter's team. They got blown out by UNC. That I don't know if that's it. That doesn't qualify. That's not Air Force ugly, but might be looking might be looking at Georgetown in that one. Dustin Sweetelson, he's got a good finish coming your way. Final 4 minutes of the NBA Cup. So looking forward to that. Programming note, Matt and I will be back on Thursday, but also we'll be back together on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Get it wherever you get your podcast. Thanks to Corey and our entire production staff. For Matt, I'm Tim. Dustin's up next right here on VSiN.